Tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores face Ole Miss. Pre-game begins at 4:45 p.m. and first pitch is at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. And let me also tell the fine folks that it's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura, Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce that we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Hoo boy. All right, Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. Our question of the day: three athletes that you have seen in your lifetime that have changed your life. A Mount Rushmore of sorts. We have some answers on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate says Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, and J.J. Watt. Interesting list there.
Diverse.
Very
like
diverse.
It. Different sports.
Very diverse. Jake in Greenbrier says, I'm 25. If it's pure greatness, Tiger, Brady, and LeBron. If we're going beyond American sports, probably slide LeBron out for Messi. And shout out to Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I like that one too. There are a lot of those that I've kind of thought about for mine as well.
Joey from Bellevue says his three all-time players are Steve McNair. You're going to have to help me with this one, Frazier.
Zinedine Zidane and J.J. Okocha.
I don't know who either of those people are.
Two soccer players.
Okay.
One is obviously a football player here from Nashville.
Yes. I love Steve McNair.
I like the diversity of it. That's pretty crazy.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. In the spirit of the NFL draft, us three are going to draft one.
Okay.
I don't know who to give the first pick to.
We have to do it here quick.
Yeah. We'll do it quickly.
Or on the other side, one of the two.
No, we'll do it quickly here.
Okay.
Frazier, you know what? Why don't you just get the first pick, and then Jake can go next, and I'll go last.
Okay. Well, I will go Lionel Messi.
Okay.
I've seen him play. I saw him play on last year on my birthday for the the League's Cup. He's a great player. He's an all-time generational great.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi.
Big Messi guy. Jake Wallman, your first round pick.
I'm going to go with the MLB first, and I'm going to go with Chipper Jones.
Chippa. A Brav. Yeah. I guess we're all just taking favorites. I'll go MLB here as well. You're going to be mad at me. Albert Pujols.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gimme.
Best baseball player I've ever seen play live. I mean, come on, man. Like, it's Albert. It's my favorite Cardinal.
Who have I seen not live? Well, I would say Shohei Ohtani, but I'll see him in June. So
I'm just
going to put Ohtani on there because it's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. Ohtani. Jake Wallman, round two.
Best player I've seen live. Probably.
I mean, that doesn't have to be a thing, but it can be.
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Tom Barty. I'll go nostalgia and biasy here. Give me John Wall.
Wow.
That's a good one.
You're not wrong on that one, Connor.
I love John Wall.
I've seen John Wall play at Memorial Gym, and it was a spectacle. Probably one of my most favorite basketball games to watch.
John Wall's my favorite cat of all time. I mean, he's unbelievable.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but for my third and final pick, I don't think this is right, but it's just somebody. I'm going off of what I've seen with my own eyes. I'm going to the Australian Rugby League, gentlemen, in the NRL. I'm going with Nathan Cleary, the NRL gem. He is now, I think, the all-time leading points scorer in NRL history. Guy is incredible, played for the Penrith Panthers, still does. We'll see what happens after this year because their dynasty's over with. They're in dead last.
I'm not surprised that you worked rugby in there.
Yeah, I mean, what you got?
I'm going to go with some bias as well, and I'm going to go with Dalton Tennect.
Oh.
Wow.
There's a few Tennessee basketball players I think I would have taken over Connect. Grant Williams, I would have.
I thought about Grant Williams.
Admiral, I would have.
I don't know about Admiral. Chris Lofton.
Lofton, yes. Who else? Not Fulkerson. My grandfather called him something else I'm not going to say on the air because we'd get in trouble.
I think I know the word you're thinking of.
Yeah. As Tim Corbin said the other day, it starts with an F and ends with a K. As for my pick, I'm going to go with the man sitting right behind Jake Woolman in that studio. Pekka Rinne, goalie, number 35 for the Nashville Predators.
Okay. Never thought about that one. I probably should have. I will say, if it's not somebody I've seen in person, my top three would be Messi, Tiger, and Barry Bonds.
If it's someone, I mean, if we're going off people I've seen in person, I think Oscar Tshiebwe would be on there for me.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable in person. Like, every ball that comes off that rim, he's grabbing. Unnamed texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's a pretty good list, too.
That is a good list.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the old 80s 49ers. If you ever play Tecmo Bowl, that's fun. That's the team. That's the team. Every time I think of 49ers, I think, you ever see that clip of Family Guy where they're playing Tecmo Bowl and Joe goes, change your guy to Ronnie Lott, Quagmire.
You got to tackle him, Peter.
Change your guy.
That's pretty good.
That's probably my favorite Family Guy clip ever, is them playing Tecmo Bowl, and then they play
NBA Jam.
Quarter three. They play double dribble.
And that's right.
That's a glitch in the system, Peter. You can't do that.
Quarter three.
And it's phenomenal. I'm trying to think of snubs. Wayno for me was huge. Wayno and I used to sit right behind the dugout, and Wayno and I would chat as a child.
Sidney Crosby.
Oh, I hate Sidney Crosby.
Hey, how about we think about it during the break?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Let's do some more on the other side. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The game, National Sports Network, is your home for NASCAR. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN Sports Talk 830, engines will rev up for the Cup Series Jack Links 500. Race coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Coverage also available at the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Forest Company, brought to you by LPL Financial. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you. Still reacting to some answers from our question of the day, which has kind of turned into who's the best player you've ever seen play live. Bobby on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I got to see Michael Jordan play baseball for the Birmingham Barons when they played the Sounds here in Nashville. Really cool night. That's a special experience. I know Michael Jordan wasn't the best baseball player.
Right.
But it's Michael freaking Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, he now is in a category with Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, just some guys that have played multi-sports, and especially baseball being one of those. I think, honestly, if you make a transition from one sport to baseball, it definitely goes to show your true athleticism. And I'll never forget this. When I was in, I guess, grade school or whatever, I went to a Vandy baseball camp, and Tim Corbin stressed. He was like, listen, if you're going to play sports, play multiple sports, not just baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that, because it goes to show you that you don't need to be honing in on just one sport.
I was like that as a kid, too.
Perfect the craft,
When I was a kid, it was, baseball was my number one, because that was the one I was best at.
Right.
Then I, for whatever reason, dropped baseball and wanted to focus on basketball.
Right.
Because I had the size and my shot was getting better. That's one of the big regrets of my life, was giving up baseball, because I would have played high school somewhere, probably at Pope, actually. But I'm not trying to brag on my my long gone baseball ability, but I batted in the five hole. I was a good hitter.
Look at
I played
this.
At second base. So I didn't have the arm,
right?
But I was no ground ball was getting past me. It just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So that's why I played second base. And I was more of a contact guy. I wasn't much of a power hitter, but I was fast enough to where if I grounded one out to a shallow center,
you'd be able to get there.
I think I would be able to get to a double off of it.
How about that?
Not to brag on my long-gone baseball abilities I had when I was 14, but, if anyone wants to run softball,
I'm in for
wiffle
it.
Wiffle ball, I'm taking you yard, so you know.
Slow-pitch softball is a lot of fun. Back to the little text line here. We have Andrew from Dover. Did you already say Andrew from Dover? No?
I did not. Andrew from Dover on a text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says his three athletes on his Mount Rushmore are Michael Jordan, Barry Sanders, and Kobe the Bean Bryant.
pretty good list.
That's a good. I mean, Michael Jordan is on mine too. Because like if we're going off all time greatness, Michael Jordan is probably number one for me. I'd put Brady up there. Gretzky, and since it's Mount Rushmore, I'm doing four. Baseball's so hard because baseball's the one sport where I don't think there's like an undisputed GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see one. That's my favorite. Yeah, I really do. We haven't seen a two-way player like that in a long, long time.
No.
And the fact that he's, I mean, obviously he just had his first kid, but I mean, along with that, you look at his abilities he's doing with the bat in his hands is just incredible. It really is. And the fact that he had Tommy John one season and was only a designated DH just one season, and now he's just turning into be that leadoff spot. Like, sure, he's been in a slump the last couple games, but playing in the leadoff spot with that bat is pretty
crazy.
Ebbs
and flows, baby.
Yes.
It's all about, I mean, that's what baseball is. Ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in, have, you know, three straight games of 1-for-4 baseball hitting, and then the next game you come in and hit three home runs. It's just weird like that. It's just how baseball works. And Shohei Ohtani is definitely the epitome of what baseball is today.
True.
He is for sure a fun-to-watch talent. Let's get into this. Cam Ward.
Yes.
Had his press conference yesterday.
Yes.
And a surprise awaited him. Warren Moon, former quarterback of the Houston Oilers, his number is retired as number one shows up and says, "Hey, Cam, I want you to wear number one." Gives him the jersey. He's got a number one Ward jersey. I know where some people on the station stand. Jared hates it. But I'm curious where you stand on this. Yeah. Are you okay with them unretiring an all-time great number for a rookie quarterback?
Here's my thing on the whole Cam Ward number one for the jersey. I text you about this. Like, listen, we got to talk about this. Mm-hmm. It was on my mind. I think when you bring a number out of retirement, especially for a guy like Warren Moon, who I guess you could say kind of was a trailblazer in some regard at the quarterback position, and especially for, I'd say, a trailblazer for the Titans franchise, Titans Oilers franchise, because he set the precedent at that position. And then you go on and retire that number, and he retired it. He mentioned it in his presser yesterday that he retired as an Oiler, but he's still in the Oiler Titan family. And to me, I think Warren Moon handled it properly. I think it's more of Cam Ward. And I'm not trying to, you know, make it sound like Cam Ward's a bad act when it comes to this or anything like that, but I don't think he really appreciates. I'm sure he's appreciative of it, but I don't know if he really understands the true essence of, man, this guy really let me have his number out of retirement. And they, you know, mentioned afterwards that, yeah, he called him a month in advance for all this. And I'm thinking, if you called him a month in advance for it, that you got to have some sort of substance underneath it. And somebody even asked him the question, Cam, what's, you know, the meaning behind number one? He goes, oh, there's really not much of a meaning. And I'm thinking in my head, like, wait a minute. If there's no meaning behind the number one and somebody's gifting you the number, then, dude, you've now put a lot of pressure on your shoulders to produce.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I understand they say pressure makes diamonds or diamonds makes pressure, whatever that phrase is. You have a lot of pressure on your shoulders now.
I was a bit indifferent from it because I think number one's a cool number.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You got to be that guy to wear it. But then I listened to Jared yesterday, and he made a great point. Mm-hmm. Would the Titans unretire 27?
Probably not.
Or, sorry. Yeah, 27.
And
Eddie George.
And nine.
Nine.
Nobody would.
Would they unretire, or would when they eventually retire 22, will they give it to someone else?
Probably not.
Probably not. So why are they unretiring one for a rookie quarterback that hasn't proven anything?
My thing is, when it comes to Cam Ward, and somebody even asked him, if you couldn't have one, what was the other number? And he said seven. To me, if I'm a player, a rookie quarterback that is the next face of the franchise, I'm picking a different number from one, because if I end up being pretty good but not great, guess what? People are still going to say, oh, Cam Ward was number one, but wait, there was somebody else before that, right? Warren Moon.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I think of number seven, I don't think of anybody that comes to mind besides Billy Volek. That was, I believe, number seven back in the mid to early 2000s. Cam Ward should be able to make a name for himself with a different number. I might be getting too overzealous about this. I might be thinking too much into it. But for me, if I'm trying to make a name for myself in the NFL, I want to have a number that says that's me. That describes I'm that guy. Yeah. I am that guy of the future. Give me number seven.
But on the flip side, if Cam Ward goes out and has a Hall of Fame career in number one, that just adds to the legacy.
That's great. Then people have a grown attachment to number one in Cam Ward Titans jersey, and then those from the past agree that, oh, this is number one in an Oilers uniform. That's Warren Moon. And I remember hearing yesterday Warren Moon saying, yeah, I'm bringing out of retirement. Hopefully we don't see a number one in an Oilers uniform. So you know what that means to me? If the Titans ever do a Love You Blue throwback, we ain't going to never see it again. Because
so did you listen to the rest of that quote?
I didn't. Maybe a little bit of it. You refresh me.
Warren Moon may have accidentally broken some news.
In what way?
He said, they asked him, you know, how would you feel seeing Cam Ward in a number one Oilers jersey? And yeah. He said, you know, I don't think they should do it.
Right.
But the Titans have new uniforms in place probably for next year that look awfully similar to the Oilers uniforms. So basically, they're not bringing back the Oilers uniforms.
I didn't hear this.
But it looks like they're going to, you know, adopt the color scheme and just apply the Titans, which I am all for. That's going to be awesome.
Or they'll, yeah, I guess so.
Bro Ben on the YouTube chat says, love the shirt, go Irish. Thank you. I have my Notre Dame shirt on today. I am a Kentucky guy, I'll say that. But I am Catholic, so I support the Irish. I like the Irish.
Touchdown Jesus, baby.
Touchdown Jesus. My high school quarterback that I covered is currently a quarterback at Notre Dame.
So really? How about that?
Hopefully Kenny Minchie goes out and succeeds. He's always been very, very kind to me and very, very respectful. So I have all the respect in the world for him and all the respect in the world for the Irish.
There you go.
But it's still Go Cats at the end of the day.
Let me add to the whole Cam Ward, Warren Moon conversation real fast before we go to break.
Yeah.
For me, I don't want to make it sound like I'm hating on Cam Ward. I'm not. It's just the principle of the appreciation factor of that number. The appreciation factor of, oh, this guy came before me. He paved the way for something. And then when you hear somebody asked him, I think yesterday in the press conference, what do you know about Warren Moon's game? He goes, well, I had to look him up on YouTube. And this was, I think, I don't know the timetable on this, but if it was after he called him and asked him for the number and then looked up his highlights after that, come on, dog.
I'm wondering if Cam Ward asked him or if it was the Titans.
No, he said Cam Ward called him a month before all this. So, like, if the Titans were to draft him, I guess. So, I don't know. To me, it just... I'm not saying it's not disingenuous because it is a genuine offer. It's a genuine sentiment.
I don't think it's a disrespect thing.
No, I don't think so either. I just think there's a lack of appreciation somewhere. There's a missing link that connects all this.
I think it was done out of total respect for Warren Moon. Basically, Cam Ward is saying, I want to honor you in this way by wearing your number for this franchise.
Did he say that?
That's what I would interpret.
Exactly. That's what you'd interpret, but he didn't say that.
But we don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
And I don't know if he's a young 22-year-old that's still learning the waves of the NFL and media training and so forth. I get all that. I don't know. There's just something to me that puts a sour taste in my mouth. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying Cameron's a bad quarterback or the one thing, number one thing's a bad thing in general, but
I think is hilarious. We keep hammering home, you know, the speculation is over. The Titans have their guy.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know how good of a player he's going to be. We don't know how bad of a player he could be.
And also, too, if he ends up being a dud, hopefully that's not the case. If he ends up being a dud and you bring a number out of retirement for that, you know what that's going to be for Warren Moon?
That taints the number.
It taints the number.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at here is if you do something bad like that and it taints the number, man, what happens to this organization?
Well, for starters, if they use the number one pick on a dud of a quarterback, that sets the franchise back years.
Right.
But I think there would be a certain level of disrespect towards Warren Moon.
It's almost as if the Titans pressured him into saying yes in a roundabout way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because there was a quote a couple of days ago where Warren was like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then... sure enough, it happened, but I don't know. I have very mixed feelings on this, similar to the draft in general. But coming up next on Forrest Company, it's just you and I today, Frazier.
Indeed.
We don't get to do this enough, so let's just talk about baseball for 15 minutes. How's that sound?
I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Drop a little draft stuff in there once in a while. I'm
a little
fine
bit,
with it.
Yeah. Baseball talk with myself and Nick Frazier coming up next on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106 through the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowing, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. Have you ever been there?
I don't believe I have. I've seen advertisements for
it. That sounds like something you would like.
It does sound like something
I think you should go.
I might.
I think you should, in fact, go. Hey, Forrest Company, sponsored by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Connor. Patrick Conger. My name's Connor. Patrick Conger. LPL Financial Nashville is your partner for whatever your future holds. All right, I'm very excited for this because we never get to do this, and we'll probably do this a lot during the summer when, you know, sports die down. But let's just talk about baseball for you know, 10 minutes.
I'm in for it.
Okay. So, right now, looking at the standings, who would you say your early pick to win it, and you are not allowed to say the Los Angeles Dodgers?
That's fine. I have other teams I'm intrigued with, and everybody always says the Padres are the spring, you know, media darlings, and what they probably are. I think Fernando Tatis is one of those guys you have to look at as potential NL MVP. I mean, obviously, Otani is obviously the heavy favorite for some people, but if you look at what Tatis has been doing, he's just been collecting hits, collecting RBIs, just doing the necessary needs to get his team wins. And I mean, obviously Otani's been out off of you know, for the birth of his child, along with, you know, other stuff with his injuries and so forth. But I like the Padres as a sneaky team to go deep into the playoff push. Another team I think that could actually win it all, I mean, I gotta say it, it's Boston.
Boston.
Yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but I think the Red Sox, yeah, they've had their struggles at the beginning of the season for me. I mean, you get a guy like Alex Bregman, you bring him in. I think it was Rafael Devers was 0-16 at the plate to start the season and then got his first hit, and now he's starting to hit his stride a little bit.
They have my pick for AL Rookie of the Year, too.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Campbell.
From Chattanooga.
He's great.
He's a local
kid. He's on my fantasy team.
Is that so?
He's
great.
I like him because I can play him anywhere, but yeah. He's been phenomenal for them so far this year.
And also in that leadoff spot, Jaron Duran has been very good for the Red
Sox.
He's
also very polite to the crowd.
Yeah.
If you can tell. I'll give you a sneaky pick that's going to absolutely hurt both of us for me to say.
Sure.
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Their pitching rotation has gotten a lot better.
Kyle Tucker is playing like an MVP right now. I think he has been the signing.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of Houston fans, and I'll include John McClain on this because every time he comes on with Chase McJoe, I chat with him before he comes on the air. I'm like, hey, how about the Astros? You got you know Cameron Smith out there playing outfield with Altuve, and I just think in my head I'm like, man, the Astros are probably kicking themselves for not signing Bregman, signing Tucker.
I mean, Bregman's playing great too.
Yeah, he is. I mean, obviously, I know the Isaac Paredes and Kyle Tucker was a trade, but it's just unfortunate because Astros could have really ran it back and done something more, but they didn't.
I really hope Lyman is listening because I'm about to drop a hot take right here.
Uh-oh.
I think the Detroit Tigers have the opportunity to go to the ALCS.
Wow. I mean,
look at their team right now.
Yeah.
Spencer Torkelson is playing like a number one pick right now. Which took a long time to get him there, but he is there. Their pitching rotation is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Tarek Skubal, defending Cy Young winner. Our boy Jack Flaherty is playing great.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all the tools. Now, we're still waiting for the traditional Tigers collapse, fall from grace. But right now, I mean, at 16-10, leading the Central right now.
I mean, they have, I think, the third best home record right now at 10-3 when it comes to looking at, you know, just home records in general. I mean, if you can command games and win games at home, I think you give yourself a really good shout at making a deep playoff push.
Yeah. I mean, they've been fun to watch, really. Who do you think the most disappointing team so far has been? And don't say the Cardinals because, yes, they have been disappointing, but we've been expecting it.
I'm I'm going to say it. I think the Atlanta Braves have been disappointing. It's the obvious one to say.
They have, but they're getting hot.
Yeah, I don't know. Just give it some time. They're 11-14. No team that I think is, what, lost seven of their first games have made it to the playoffs. So I'm not fully saying they're out, but I think it's leaning in that direction. What are some other teams that have kind of been disappointing to me?
I have been thoroughly disappointed by the Cincinnati Reds so far. I expected that. I didn't expect them to be, you know, World Series contenders, but I expected them to be good.
I mean, they're second in the Central right
here's
now.
Here's the thing about the Reds. They won one game. Who'd they play? I think it was the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them 24-2.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Orioles.
Orioles, yeah.
24-2. Next day, they lost like 4-0. Like, it's not that. They're just inconsistent.
Yeah, you mentioned inconsistency. I'd say a team that's disappointing me is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes.
You go get Max Scherzer in the offseason, doesn't really pan out for you right now. It kind of washed. You sign Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Should have been a Cardinal.
To a big deal. So, what, 14 years, $500 million, something like that. He mentioned before the season that they didn't come to an agreement. He's going to go to free agency in November after the season's over with. End up coming to an agreement. I mean, that was basically imminent. So, he's their franchise first baseman for the rest of his career, essentially. Bo Bichette had a lackluster season last year, has really come on this year. He's really gotten a lot better. I think the addition of Anthony Santander from Baltimore has been a big jolt to their lineup. Andres Jimenez, the second baseman as well. Like you said, they're too inconsistent for me. They just need to get their feet under them. They need to be able to hit the ball consistently, and we'll see where that goes from there. And I forgot to mention this, a team that is surprising, the Athletics. I don't want to call them the Oakland Athletics. They're just the Athletics.
ATH.
They're in Sacramento right now. But that is a team that really invested in their farm system, that has said, you know what, we're going to stick with Tyler Soderstrom. I think his name is Jacob Wilson, Lawrence Butler, all of our young core pillars, Brent Rooker, all those guys have been with them for the longest time now that they've been at the bottom of the barrel. You make the transition from Oakland to Sacramento, then going to be up to Vegas in the next couple of seasons. It's just the perfect swing of things for them because, pun intended, you're in Sacramento, a small ballpark, a more intimate setting. You're bringing in a lot of fans. Everybody's getting the fun. They beat somebody the other night on a walk-off single. It may have been the Phillies on a Tuesday night or something like that. I think it was Jacob Wilson. That kid hit it up the middle of the center field, and they ended up winning the game. I mean, that team, even though they're 500, they're a team I'm going to continue to watch week in and week out.
I think the team I've been most impressed with so far, other than the Cubs, New York Mets.
Yeah.
They've been great. Juan Soto has been great. They just have a deep lineup to me. You know, you have Pete Alonso, the polar bear, mm-hmm. Brandon Nimmo, Drew Smith, Jeff McNeil, Lindor, who was an MVP candidate last year.
Pimp job of a home run the other night.
Oh
my God.
Tyrone Taylor, former Sound. Yep. Jesse Winker, Edwin Diaz is your closer. I mean, they got a deep, deep roster, and that's the thing about baseball. You don't have to have the best roster to win it. You just have to have the hottest roster. And this is the kind of team that I think can turn up and get hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think if Soto gets out of his little rut he's been in to start the season, I think he's kind of coming out of it. But defensively, he's made a few errors from time to time. If he can figure things out and get his bat hot like you're talking about with that whole team, how deep they are, you're right. They could be one of those teams that could really make a big World Series push.
What do you think would happen if they were to win the World Series at this station?
Oh, man. I think Willie Donick may end up going on a parade. He may
go there. Him and TD may show up.
They both might be looking like Frank the Tank from Old School. They go streaking in the quad. Might just go streaking down Broadway. Yikes.
I mean.
But we may not see them for a couple of weeks because they'll be celebrating.
I mean, if they're here, I don't think you're going to get much energy out of them because they'll be hungover on the happy juice.
Hey, might as well. I mean, Mets fans ought to be happy. They haven't won the World Series in a long time since I was 80 something.
That was a crazy stat when the Cubs won in 2016. The birth rate skyrocketed in February, I believe.
Oh, man.
No particular reason for that. But
yeah. I think another team you got to look out for, too, is the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah. J-Rod.
Yep, J-Rod, Cal Raleigh, they call him the Big Dumper. Dude has been, yeah, it's his nickname, the Big Dumper, the dump truck. He's been incredible at the plate. He's hitting home runs left and right, RBIs, kind of the same situation I was talking about with Tatis. He's one of those up-and-coming, you know, players that you got to keep your eye on. I like how Seattle is managing him behind the plate. They're not stressing too much of his knees for the most part. Kind of what the Royals are doing now with Salvador Perez. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still is behind the plate from some time to time. But
they'll DH him.
They'll DH him. And I think the Mariners are catching on to that before, you know, he gets into the latter years of his career, because he signed, I think, a 7-year deal this past offseason. So, I mean, might as well do it at the beginning of the contract rather than the latter part of the contract. It's smart.
Don't you feel better?
I do.
The baseball.
I could talk about it for the rest of the show, but we're not going to do that.
Oh, I know, because we got some picks to make coming up next.
Indeed.
What those are, I will decide here in about 2 minutes, but weekend picks coming up next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 p.m., and the first pitch is at 6:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Our good friend Jeff Hem will have the call tonight. Really want to have him on the show at some point.
Yes.
Really, really. Chase, I hope you're listening. The dream here is we do a show from First Horizon Park.
At home plate.
At home plate. On the mound.
This is going to...
And they give us free stuff.
This is going to happen.
I'm manifesting this right now.
You've put it out in the ether.
I have put this out in the ether. Ask and they shall receive.
Okay. Oh, man.
We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I can now pronounce that in my sleep. Let's do some weekend picks here. After much consideration, I have decided, just give me one pick from the Titans from rounds 4, 5, and 6. Doesn't have to have any, you know, background knowledge, any insightful scouting.
Okay.
Just do it. I don't care who it is. Nick Frazier, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I kind of mentioned this to you in one of the breaks. I've also been, this guy's been on my radar the last couple of weeks. His stats have been going up and up throughout college football. This is a guy that kind of got snubbed for the Blintkoff Award because Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's name is Nick Nash. How crazy is that? Nick, and then last name's Nash.
Nash.
Out of San Jose State, 6'3 wide receiver, Irvine, California. Had 1,300 yards last year, receiving 104 receptions. Had 16 touchdowns. Guy was a touchdown machine, and averaged about 13.3 yards per catch. So that is pretty interesting stats there. I think this guy is a tall, I wouldn't say tall drink of water. That's not the right way to put it.
Whoa.
I'm just saying he's like a tall, I don't know, what's the best way to put it? A tall, agile, good receiver. Just well technically sound.
He's a physical.
Yeah, physical guy. I think that's the best way to put it. But I don't know. I fell in love with this guy when watching him play San Jose State. I mentioned this to a few other people outside the station. And
maybe not the best statement to follow up with a tall drink of water. I fell in love with him.
Yeah. Bad choice of words there. But he's a really good wide receiver. Let's put it that way.
I think they are going wide receiver with the very first pick of the fourth round.
Really?
And I think they are going Dante Thornton from Tennessee.
Okay.
Which I would be very happy with. I think Dante Thornton's a good player. I think he's very fast, and I think he's kind of a guy you want to plug in on the outside, let Cam Ward throw it down, and see where it lands.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans get two wide receivers with the last few rounds of their
picks.
That's
where I'm going.
I wouldn't be surprised with that.
That's where I'm going. Jake Wellman, your round 4 pick for the Titans.
I'm
going to
go wide receiver as well. Okay. There's still some pretty good names on the board. I was just looking at Isaiah Bond, Elik Iamanor.
Yeah.
I think I pronounced that right.
Stanford.
Stanford.
Yeah. I know Chase McCabe on this station yesterday said Royals out of Utah State.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's some pretty good wide receivers. I like Isaiah Bond or Tez Johnson if they don't pick Dante Thornton.
Oh, I like Tez Johnson. Forgot about Tez Johnson.
Tez is out there still.
Former Coach Newt product, Tez Johnson.
and he's what? Tez Johnson. No, I'm thinking of a different Oregon player that's from Nashville. Sorry about that.
Oh, that is Jordan James.
Jordan James, thank you. I saw the Oregon logo. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, yeah. Tez Johnson's a good athlete. Very good athlete.
All right. That rounds out round four. Now this is the part where none of them will probably be there, but let's do it anyway. Round five, go ahead.
Round five, I think Titans go... I can see them go secondary, a corner. Honestly, I'm not sure what names are going to be there at that position when they get there. I mean, I believe Quincy Riley was somebody that Jake Lyman mentioned earlier. I think he'll be gone before then. My cousin, Za Frazier, I don't think he'll be there. I mean,
your cousin?
Yeah, same last name and everything.
Your other cousin is trash-talking us here on the YouTube chat.
I have another cousin? I don't know who that is.
With an S instead of a Z.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're not related. Yeah. It's all right. No, I could see Titans going after somebody in the secondary. Maybe I really don't know what names to really throw out there. I don't want to sound incorrect, but I think the fifth round they go secondary.
Secondary, okay.
And if, honestly, there's a lot of really good wide receiver talent in this draft, I could see them going secondary in the fourth and then wide receiver in the fifth because the wide receiver depth is almost, you know, endless at this point. There's a lot of really good talent. I think there's a lot of upside development when it comes to these rounds for wide receivers.
All right, I'm calling the shot right now.
All right.
Xavier Restrepo to the Titans in the fifth round.
Okay. How about that?
They go back-to-back wide receivers, which would make me very happy.
Wow. That's tough. For me, that's tough to think about. If they go double, I would love to see it.
I don't think they're definitely not going back-to-back, but...
Yeah,
I'm banking on Restrepo being a Titan, which means it's not going to happen.
I think it goes like this. I think it goes secondary, receiver, receiver.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Jake Wauman, your fifth round pick.
I'm going to stay on the offensive side of the ball. Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, that was my other one.
Tight end out of Texas.
That was my other one.
I would have liked Arroyo, but I think he went to...
Seattle.
Yeah, I was going to say Seattle last night.
They have a really good draft class.
Yeah, Milroe was a really good pick by them. He can get the chance to develop in that offense. But I like Gunnar Helm out of Texas. I think that would be a good pick. A nice target, big target for Cam Ward to have to throw the ball to.
I was watching Gunnar Helm's tape recently, and I think the way that I think his game would translate well with the Titans would be more in that, I mean, Titans wouldn't throw any tight end screens or anything, but in the flats, he'd be the great safety net that a rookie quarterback needs.
In the flats, a little five-yard curl route right over the middle.
And some, you know, little stop routes in the middle of the field, right behind the linebackers, something like that. I think it's just a good combination to have for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up with the final pick of the sixth round. Nick Frazier.
I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. They're going to go offensive lineman. I think they're going to go with a guard.
A guard?
Somebody in the interior. Because obviously you can get a lot of guys outside the draft, but with all the extra draft, I guess, later round picks the Titans have, they can take flyers on those positions. And I think that's probably what they'll do.
He almost certainly 100% will not be here in the sixth round.
Mm.
But Cam Scataboo.
Oh, man, you never know. I think he might slip.
Really?
Maybe late fifth, early sixth.
He 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's the next Peyton Hillis. I've been telling him he's the next Peyton Hillis.
I just feel something for him. I don't know what it is, but I feel like he would fit in nicely here. Jake Wauman, wrap us up here.
I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball. I think this is a guy that's been kind of linked to the Titans. Jack Sawyer at Ohio State.
Oh,
he's probably not going to be there.
I'd love Jack Sawyer.
But he would be huge. He would be some great help on the defensive side of the ball. And he'd look good in two-tone blue.
Oh, I'd love Jack Sawyer here, especially that late. Oh,
that'd be so nice.
Good. That would be so good. Well, that'll do it for us here today on Forrest Company. Stick around. The NFL draft coverage of the final day of the draft is coming up right after us. For Nick Frazier, for Jake Wauman, I am Connor Newt. Jake Lyman will be with us next week. But for as of right now, this is Forrest Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
See ya!